God, you're so good to us, and that is such an understatement. But Lord, you know our hearts. You know how deeply grateful we are today for what you have done for us. We thank you today, Lord, from the depths of our being for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that means to us, all the changes that have come, all the experiences we have had, all the adventures we've enjoyed, all the goodness that has flowed from heaven to us is because of your blood, Lord Jesus. May you touch our hearts and soften us to how precious your blood is this day. And as we are touched by your love, may we then love you back, for you have truly, in so many wonderful ways, first loved us. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. This message has a title, as they all do, but this one is extremely precious to me. The title is The Precious Blood of Jesus. I want to direct your attention to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. This is to prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. I want you to behold the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter says in 1 Peter 1:18, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. And it's fascinating what he says is corruptible, something that we would perceive as not corruptible. He says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. He points to something precious. And he says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, those that have gone before you, but you were redeemed with, here it is, the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I think that precious is a word that is going out of use in the time in which we live. It's not used that often. We live in a dark world. We live in a turbulent world, and we're so often consumed with ourselves and the problems we face that very rarely does the word precious escape our lips anymore. But as Christians, when we survey the wondrous cross of Jesus Christ, oh my, the word precious certainly comes to mind. The precious blood of Jesus. Never has that word precious carried so much meaning as when it is brought to bear upon the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood. Is the blood of Christ precious to you this morning? If you know Jesus Christ, it sure is. If you don't know Jesus Christ, if you've come in with a friend, you're visiting, you're watching online, and the blood is not precious to you, please know this. That tug you feel upon your heart is not an accident and it's not an emotion. It's God. It's God, the Redeemer, God, the Rescuer, seeking to save you from your sin that has been destroying your life, turning you into something you never dreamed you would become, a caricature of what you thought you would be. Sin corrupts. Sin distorts. Sin turns a human being into something God never intended. And if you feel God tugging your heart today, know that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you're feeling that tug. And if you will respond and say yes to God and no to yourself, He will rush in and by the blood of Jesus Christ save your soul forever. Oh, if you're feeling that tug of God, open up your heart and surrender to Him today. Believe He died on the cross for you and rose again, and let Him rescue you utterly. For salvation is a rescue operation. And when you've been rescued, the blood becomes precious to you. That's why this big burly fisherman is now using the word in his vocabulary, precious. And I can't hear the tone of his voice, but I can only imagine. Never has the word precious carried so much meaning, and never will I say precious more times in a sermon than this one today. So as we come to remember him, moving toward the Lord's table, focus on his blood as precious. Let me give you four reasons why. Because it is exalted, number one. Number two, because it is redemptive. Number three, because it is quickening. And number four, because it is comforting. Exalted, redemptive, quickening, and comforting. Let's talk about the blood of Christ as exalted. It is exalted if you think about whose blood we're talking about. Jesus Christ. It is described as precious comparatively in our text. Peter says in verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed from corruptible things, but then he lists off precious things. So by comparing it to everything else, precious comparatively, these things may have some worth, but they have no worth or no value when it comes to saving your soul from sin and hell and ensuring heaven for you forever. In that sense, they are worthless. And thus, the blood of Christ is precious beyond all comparison. So I say precious comparatively. But let me take you to another thought. The blood of Christ is precious absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because it flowed from the one man who was and is absolutely God. The one man who was and is absolutely God. Can you turn in your Bible? Hold your place in Peter. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, to chapter 20, to verse 28. I just made the statement that the blood flowed from the one man who was absolutely God. I'd like you to see what Paul has to say to the elders from the church at Ephesus and the last time he will ever see them. He says something astonishing. As he's about to depart from them, he says, therefore, men, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Take this all very seriously. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Everything about your life has been directed by God the Holy Spirit. Take it seriously. And then he said, oversee the flock and shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, I must tell you, I've read that verse so many times. And always I'm deeply impacted with the responsibility to shepherd the flock of God, because it's not my flock, it's his flock. You're not my people, you're his people. This church is not my church, it's his church. So always I read it and I take that, oh yes, I need to take this so seriously, because God the Holy Spirit has put me into this and God the Holy Spirit wants to work through me overseeing this, but this is really all his. Okay, and that is wonderful to see, and if you're in ministry, you should see it. But the thing that I have so often missed is this part. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Matthew Henry was very helpful to me because he pointed out what I have missed. He said this, it is the church he has purchased with his own blood. The blood was his as man, yet so close the union between divine and human nature that right here in this verse, it is called the blood of God. It is called the blood of God, for it was the blood of him who is God. Oh my. Talk about precious. Talk about precious absolutely. Because here it is actually called the blood of God. The blood of God was shed for you. And so it is precious. Precious to the Father because it came from His only begotten Son as a lamb without blemish and without spot. I think of John the Baptist when he saw Him walking up, saw Jesus. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who what? Takes away the sin of the world." We read in our Bibles, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten," underscoring the fact that it was at great cost to God the Father that He gave His only Son. Precious to God the Father because it was His only begotten Son. I like what Octavius Winslow said. He said, "Who delivered up Jesus Christ to die? In the end, not Judas for money, not Pilate for fear, and not the Jews for envy, but the Father for love. The Father delivered Him up for you. He loves you. We've talked about Him as our perfect Father every day. He paid the ultimate price by offering His Son for you. He was delivered up for love from the Father. Precious to the Father who gave His only Son. And further, precious to the Son who bled and died Himself. You see, as we look at the cross, the wonder of the cross is not the blood so much as whose blood. There is blood there, yes. But the real issue is whose blood is there? That's the real issue. Precious to the Son who was God come in the flesh. The issue, not so much the blood as whose blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. John Flavel, one of those great old writers that I love to read, said that Jesus Christ is so in love with holiness that He bought it with His blood for you and I. And then gives it to us as a free gift. Precious to the Father, precious to the Son, and precious to the Holy Spirit who applies the blood to your life. I love the fact that God decreed in eternity past who would be saved and who wouldn't, based on everything He knows and we probably will never know. I love the fact He took care of things in eternity, that you would be saved, that I would be saved. But how I thank God for the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood so I could be saved. To know I would be saved is wonderful. To know I could be saved because of the blood is critical. And this is why He says, as you're all caught up in your life, as you're all caught up with the problems maybe that have hit you like a tornado out of nowhere, please take time to stop and remember Me and the blood I shed for your sins on the cross. And then having done that and meditated on that and come to the point of gratitude and been strengthened as you seek Me in this way, then you can go back into your life and back into your problems, and I will go afresh and anew with you. I love that. Precious to the Spirit of God who applies it to your life. You see, if you're a Christian today, it's because the Holy Spirit came to you. Earlier I spoke of, if you don't know the Lord, you may be feeling the tug of God upon your heart. That's the Holy Spirit. Everyone who comes to know Jesus Christ, let me put it another way, everyone who makes it into heaven will go through that time of feeling the Holy Spirit exercise your heart, tug upon your heart, drawing you to Jesus Christ so that He might then apply the blood to your life, and that is what saves you. So the Holy Spirit moves in and He penetrates your heart. He even pierces the darkness of your depraved heart, and the light comes flooding in so you can behold it, and the gospel comes flooding in through your ears so you can hear it.
and your heart begins to respond as you feel it, and then the Holy Spirit confirms that it's all true, and the next thing you know, all of God is all over you, and you surrender your life to the Lord, and He saves you in that moment, and you know you're born again. And if you've never had that experience, you say, well, wait a minute, I've gone to church all my life, and I've never had that experience, and you're probably not born again. Think about this, people. If God could create the heavens and the universe and set the stars in their place and the planets orbiting around the sun and have all the perfection involved so our little blue planet doesn't get burned up and fried by this gigantic burning orb nearby we call the sun. If He could do that, surely you can believe upon Him. And surely if He comes into your life, you will know it. And surely you will feel it. And I'm talking about the experience. I'm not calling God it. You will feel the experience of God Himself. Say, oh man, you're really messing me up. I've been in church my whole life and I don't think I've ever had an experience like that. Time to have one. It's about time. You're due. You're due right now, today. Open your heart and say, Lord, I've been missing out. The word is yes, 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 God. Give me you. And fill me until I overflow. It's the Holy Spirit that applies the blood of Christ to your life. And when He does, that's salvation. And you know it. And it's precious to you after that because that's when your sins are washed away. A lifetime of sin washed away in a moment. That's the amazing thing when you're born again. You ask people to describe it. What was it like? And they'll inevitably say this. They'll say it on different sides of the earth. They'll inevitably say this. People in different cultures, different places, they'll say, I felt as though this huge burden was lifted off of my soul. And suddenly the guilt that had been burning and flaming in my brain was gone. And I was flooded with a peace I had never known before. It's precious to you when your sins are washed away, the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Never has the word precious carried so much meaning. The precious blood, it redeems precious souls. It makes precious people out of some of the worst people that have ever walked the planet. Once bought and born again by the blood of Jesus, they become a precious person. And such were some of you. We've got some of you here today. Some of you were the most evil, wicked, mean, and nasty creatures to ever crawl the planet. Amen is right. And I'm one of them. But I'm saved by the blood today. I'm forgiven of all those sins. And the Holy Spirit has been at work within my soul, causing me to cry out, Abba, Father, the greatest craving of my life is now to know You, and that has never gone away from moment one. And thus He's made me into a different person, and He's made you into a different person. The blood makes us precious people. Different people. It redeems precious souls. It makes precious people. It confirms precious promises that we find on the pages of the Bible. And it purchases for us special privileges. You have a mansion waiting for you in heaven. And it has a big reserved sign on it. And on that sign is your name. Special privileges. Special privileges now with God in communion with Him. and all the adventures of the real Christian life. And who knows what's waiting in terms of special privileges in eternity. Our God, who dwells in His own infinitude, has all of eternity to unleash upon us His blessings and the special privileges that became ours as we believe on the precious blood here. And His precious blood is the foundation of every precious comfort that comes from God to you in your hour of need. Oh, the blood of Jesus, precious because exalted. Let's go to the next thought here. Redemptive. It is redemptive. Peter, back in 1 Peter 1:18, he says, knowing that you were not redeemed. You see that word redeemed? Not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We were redeemed because the precious blood of Christ is satisfying to God. Satisfying in this sense that it has satisfied His holy justice as it relates to your sin. You see, you transgressed the law of God, every law of God. You sinned in every way possible. You wronged the holiness of God with your sin. And each one of us owes the suffering and the penalty due for the breach of God's holiness, which would include all the miseries of this life, death itself, and the torments of hell forever. That's what we owe God. And yet, Jesus, dying in our place, shed His blood to pay the debt we owed God so that we would never have to see hell, a place where we could never pay the payment, which is why hell is forever. Did you ever think about that? Why is hell forever? Because of the complete inability of the human to make the payment to satisfy the holiness of God. If there was any shred of ability to make that payment, then you could be there 10,000 years and get out. Or you could be there 1,000,000 years and get out. And that is where the whole lie of purgatory came from. A misunderstanding of the inability to make any kind of payment to God for the debt you owe toward His holiness for your sin. That's where the whole idea of purgatory came from. A gigantic lie. Not from hell, but from Satan, who hasn't been to hell yet. A gigantic lie based on the thought that maybe you could somehow pay off your debt. But when you are at your best, humanly speaking, and you offer your best works, humanly speaking, to God, compared to the blood of Christ, how does God compare them? What does He call your very best righteous works? You got it. So, due to the filthy rag syndrome, if I could put it that way, hell is forever because man's inability to make any kind of payment. And yet, the blood of Christ has made the payment for you in such a way God's justice is completely satisfied. And this is what I want you to bring to the Lord's table today. Have your eye on the blood of Christ as you come to the Lord's table today. Have your eye on that satisfying blood that has completely satisfied God as it relates to your sin, your shortcomings, your failures, and know that you're coming to God as your Father, who, when you woke up this morning, was looking at you with a smile on His face. You live under the smile of God because of the blood of Christ. Oh, let that saturate your thoughts and your heart. The blood of Christ, so satisfying to God. I believe if we understood this and embraced it more, not only would we love God more, but we would walk around with more joy and more peace. You notice how He paid the price that we would have had to pay eternally, and still it would be left unpaid, but He did it in that short time on the cross. It has been well said, His sufferings were satisfactory, though they were not eternal. On the cross, just a few hours. His sufferings were satisfactory, though they were not eternal, and therefore not eternal, because they were satisfactory. That's powerful. And that's because this wasn't just another man whose cause had gone wrong. God gave His only Son. We're told in Romans 8, He delivered Him up and He did not spare Him. And thus the payment He gave for our sin, as He bore the punishment for our sin, completely satisfied the justice of God. And thus we are among those who are called redeemed in the Bible. In 1 Timothy 2:6, Paul speaks of Christ who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. A ransom for all. In other words, He paid the price. There is a song that I love dearly where one of the lyrics is, "You paid much too high a price for me." And I still believe that is true. In Matthew 20:28, we read, Jesus said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. And His blood satisfied then the justice of God, and thus His blood redeemed you." The ransom idea is that of the Roman slave market. Often slaves would stand naked and humiliated in public on the slave block, and they would be sold off. Well, there you were in the slave market of sin. And Jesus came along and bought you out of the slave market of sin. Bought you with every intention of making you free. For whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. Absolutely. He gave His life as a ransom for many. And so we've been redeemed by the blood. So much we could say. Peter says that it has delivered us from the mold of a godless life. The mold of a godless life. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your," you see it? The New King James says, "aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers." Have you ever had anybody say to you, "You know, you really remind me of your dad. You really remind me of your mom. You know, that's a wonderful thing if your dad was extremely godly. Praise the Lord. Not that many of them out there, but if you were blessed with that, you do thank God. And if your mother was extremely godly, praise the Lord. But so many mothers and so many fathers are so ungodly. The legacy they leave you is an aimless life. You grow up and you remind people of the aimless life they lived. "Hi, my name's Danny. I'm an adult child of an alcoholic." I don't introduce myself that way. My dad was an alcoholic, but then he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But I don't introduce myself that way. "Hi, my name's Danny. I'm a child of the King. You want to meet him?" That's the way I introduce myself. You see, what we inherit from all of our relatives, family, the people around us. Let's just look at the tradition of your fathers. It's everybody who went before you. The tradition of sin, and it leads to an aimless life. If your life is not guided by the Holy Spirit, taking you down the straight and narrow to ultimately take you through the gates into heaven forever, then your life is aimless. And it doesn't matter how many millions you're making. It doesn't matter what kind of house you have. It doesn't matter what you've established in this life. If your life isn't heading toward God, if your life isn't heading straight toward heaven the moment you die, then you're living an aimless life. Because there's only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Everything else will be gone. His blood is satisfying to God. His blood is applicable to you, but you must come to Him to partake of the benefits. And as we come to the Lord's table today, see the blood applied to you and thank God for it. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I remember reading that and wondering, here's this huge statement about election that takes me into eternity. Then it ends, the sentence ends with the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I now get it. Want me to share it with you? It's one thing to understand the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, and the whole world knows of that, if they've heard the gospel at all. It's another thing to have it sprinkled on your life. The sprinkling of the blood of Christ, elect in eternity, but born again in time as the blood is sprinkled on your life. It isn't the shed blood that saves you if you leave it out there and never embrace Him, because it won't. It's the sprinkled blood that saves you. It's just another way of saying the blood applied to your life where it becomes yours. I love it. Every single time I look at a verse and I suddenly understand what I never did before after all these years. And I'm looking at one right now. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God and through the sanctification of the Spirit and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I say again, if you don't know Him, but you believe He died for you, you believe He rose again for you, then you must make the move and say, Lord Jesus Christ, save me now and save me utterly. Sprinkle me with Your blood. Apply Your blood to me and save me by that blood. So that you can say, not only do I believe in the shed blood, but I've been saved by having that blood sprinkled on me, as it were, applied to me, as it were. And it's mine now, because once bestowed, it's mine for how long?
Forever.
Amen. We're getting some good theology down in our souls around here. And that means we're getting a good understanding of our God and how much He loves us. And that means that when we come to the Lord's table, we have so much to be thankful for. The blood was spilled upon the cross, and it will be sprinkled on your conscience today as we come to the Lord's table. You see, you could have come in here today, and probably some of you did. You're just as guilty as the day is long. You messed up so much this week. Only you know it. So you come in, you've been sitting here just, oh, thank God it's a message about the blood, because I have messed up so bad. If ever there was a week I needed to hear about the blood, this is the week. Well, I want you to know, as we come to the Lord's table, He wants to freshly sprinkle, apply the blood to your guilty conscience that you brought through the doors of this church this day, and send you out with a refreshed, cleansed conscience, cleansed by the blood, invigorated by the Holy Spirit, and a heart activated to go on to love and serve Him in a fresh way. Nothing like the saving power of God. I read about a man who died in an interesting way. I have to share this story with you. We'll make it to the finish line, but I want to share this with you. In 1878, Lady Mary Fitzgerald was a deeply spiritual woman,
and she had only one son. He continually resisted every effort she made to get him to recognize the need to receive Jesus Christ. Sinking deeper into sin, he finally committed murder and he was sentenced to death. Everyone who tried to minister to his spiritual needs found him hard and defiant. On the day of the execution, the local clergyman continued to plead with him to receive the Savior until the very moment the noose was placed around his neck. And so he's standing there with the noose around his neck and the local minister is still ministering the gospel to him right up until that time. Suddenly the trap was sprung and down he went. And as he went down, he was cursing God and man as loud as he could. But the unexpected happened. The rope broke. And he landed in a heap on the ground. And all of a sudden, he began to say, "Wait, wait, wait." He got up and he staggered to his feet. And there he was wobbling. And he said, "As I was hanging there, and as I dropped, suddenly I realized I was dropping into a Christless, godless eternity. And oh, thank God I'm still alive. Oh, thank God that rope broke. I now believe on Jesus Christ. I'm now ready to die. Give me 1/2 hour, I beg of you, to go and tell my mother that I've come to know Jesus Christ and go ahead and kill me." And that's exactly what they did. He went and he shared with his mother and anyone who would listen, and then he walked himself back up. And as they put the noose around his neck, he was thanking God that he had been good to him and given him a second chance, and that he was about to be launched into the glory of heaven forever. Wow is right. Exalted, the blood is redemptive. And it's quickening. It's quickening because it is the Satan conqueror. Jesus Christ conquered the devil on the cross. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, Adam and Eve have sinned. They've given in to the temptation of the devil. God shows up. Basically, we would say, busts them as they're hiding behind a tree, Adam and Eve. And they're behind a tree going, "Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah." You say, "Why are they doing that?" Because they tried to make a covering for themselves with fig leaves, which happened to be very prickly. "Ooh, ah, ooh, ah." I often wonder if God had to try to be serious as he walked up. He knew how it was all going to work out and they'd be forgiven and he would cover their sin and they would respond. But there they were. And so God lined them up and there was the devil and there was Eve and there was Adam. And he foretold that there would be a Savior, a Redeemer. And he told the devil, he said, "You will come to the time when you bruise his heel," speaking of the crucifixion. "But as you do, he will bruise your head," speaking of the death blow that Christ would deliver to Satan, that he would utterly conquer him at the cross. And when he died on the cross and he rose again, he did conquer the devil. And as a result, he is the Satan conqueror, and we will see him thrown into the lake of fire. We're studying that in the book of Revelation. But not only the Satan conqueror, but the sin killer. I love that. The sin killer. He comes through in our lives like calling the bug man to come to your house when your house is infested with ants in the summertime and you got to call the bug man. Or you see these little creatures in your basement. I've seen some really weird ones since I moved here. They're long and hairy and they freak me out completely. You got to call the bug man to come and kill them all. Well, Jesus Christ comes into your life with his blood, and his blood is the sin killer. It kills all that creepy stuff, creepy crawly stuff,
And that's what turns you into a soft-hearted worshiper before His throne of grace. That's why I say quickening, because the Satan conqueror, the sin killer, but the heart softener. You know, I mentioned you may have come in today just as guilty as the day is long. Well, with that, because you messed up all week, with that messing up, with that sinning, comes a hardness to your heart, right? Sin is like Novocaine shot into your heart. It hardens your heart, but nothing softens your heart like the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is why we love coming to the Lord's table. That is why we love to stop and remember His blood that He died for us. The ultimate softener of the heart is the blood of Christ. And even for the nation of Israel that has rejected Him as their Messiah, we read in Zechariah, I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and the time will come. They will look on me whom they pierced, and they will mourn as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one who grieves for a firstborn. The blood of Christ will soften even the Christ-rejecting nation of Israel, and they will be saved. And we're studying these things in the book of Revelation. You notice how I keep tossing that in. For those of you that are Sunday only, don't be satisfied with Sunday only as a Christian. Unless you work Wednesday, come out and worship God in the middle of the week. I never tire of saying that. Because when I was just sitting in a pew before I was in the ministry and before I was pastoring, if I skipped in the middle of the week, I know how my life went. There's a big sag. You're way up here on Sunday, and by the middle of the week, sin's taking its toll, and you're way down here, and you care more about TV than you do about Jesus. That's a toll that's been taken on you. Don't get me started on this. Say, brother, you already are, man. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Let's get back to the topic. Exalted, redemptive, quickening, and finally, it is so comforting. Oh, it is so comforting. It speaks to God of mercy on your behalf. In Hebrews 12:24, it says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. The writer uses that same language, applying the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. When Cain killed Abel, his blood cried out for vengeance. When the world killed Jesus Christ on the cross, his blood cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His blood pleads for mercy on your behalf and calls out to God to treat you in mercy. And as a result, God does every day that you live as a Christian. And you know the final thing his blood does? It makes all that you do pleasing to God. Covered by the blood, He loves your prayers. Without the blood, your prayers would just provoke Him. If you didn't know the Lord and you're praying away to God and asking for favors, you'd only provoke Him. Any and all religious rituals would only provoke Him. But covered by the blood, your prayers are a blessing to God, even when they're faulty, because you're still human. And anything you do to serve Him is a blessing, even though you still have failings and faults. And you quit, and then you come back. All the things we do in our service to God is pleasing to God because of the precious blood of Jesus. And how do you come to Him? Do you prepare yourself to come to Him? How do you come to Him when you come by the blood? Listen to this story that I'm going to close with. It's a true account. A pastor by the name of Cesar Millan. Please do not confuse him with the other guy. The one that works with dogs. You got to get rid of these distractions and messages. A pastor in the 1800s by the name of Cesar Millan, famous for his ministry in Geneva, Switzerland, had a genuine spiritual interest in anyone and everyone. And on one occasion was introduced to a woman and he asked her about her personal relationship with the Lord. She reacted in a very recalcitrant way and caught off guard, and she was somewhat annoyed and she curtly said, "I don't want to discuss the matter any further." The minister kindly assured her that he would be praying for her salvation, and then he went away. It wasn't long before the circumstances in their lives brought the two together again. And as they talked, it became apparent to Pastor Milan that his prayers were being answered, and she was now soft. The once antagonistic woman had recognized now her need and was now asking him what was required to come to the Savior. He then replied these words, "You come just as you are." That is exactly what she did. And realizing she could do nothing to save herself and depending on the finished work of Christ's cross to pay for her sins, she received him by faith as her Savior that day. The name of that woman, you want to know her name? Charlotte Elliott, who later wrote the beloved hymn, "Just As I Am." "Without one plea, except thy blood was shed for me." It's nothing but the blood of Jesus, friends. And oh, how precious is the blood. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we thank you this day so much for the blood of our precious Savior. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the suffering, the death, for bearing our punishment in paying the full price of the debt we could never pay. Thank you, Lord, that we will never have to see hell. And if we really understood what that is, we would love you even more than we do now. Oh, God, give us grateful hearts for all you have done for us. And Lord, today we're stopping to think only of you. Free our hearts to attend upon you. Holy Spirit, manifest yourself to us now. Strengthen us, refresh us, wash us and cleanse us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.